We're now going to look at the first reading, which is from Isaiah 49, only two verses. They're powerful verses, but I would advise that you look at more of the context in Isaiah itself if you're going to make remarks on this text. It's a trust text. All right? So it starts, you see, and Zion says, Adonai has forsaken me. That famous word again, Azav Iveni, Azav. I'm forsaken. As I told you before, only one is really forsaken. That's Jesus. So when he prays that psalm on the cross, Lama Azavtani, why did you Azav me? So Zion says, you see, Azaveni, and the Lord has forgotten me. This is the Lord's answer. Can a mother forget her infant? Be without tenderness for the child of her womb? Even if she forget, I will never forget you. Now, think of God coming up with that image to convince us. Because things can be tough, and you can say, I don't know where you are, God. I mean, you're not around, you're not helping. No, the parish has turned against me, I'm sick, whatever. And the Lord is saying, I promise you, no matter what you feel right now, I am closer to you and I love you more than a mother loves the child of her own womb. Believe me and trust me. You see, that's the message. Now, the text goes on. See? Upon the palms of my hands I have written your name. Your name. Not just Israel or Zion. Your name is written on the palms of his hand. Can you think of God inspiring the author to come up with these images to convince us that it's for real? You know, once I was talking to one of the great experts on early monasticism, a Jesuit, actually, Irene Hauser. And I said to him, you know, I was assistant to the novice master for over 5 years. And, you know, there were these books about first you meditate, then you do this, you do that. And I said, you know, I never did that. And so I didn't know how to talk to these people. I told him what I did, but I said, remember, this is not what's in the book. And Hauser said to me, of course, what's in those books is balderdash. It's never the way a man prays, or a woman. Never prays that way. You see, you're enticed by the Lord. And so you keep it up. And so when you want, you remember when you were enticed by the Lord. And if you're not, if you're not really praying a lot right now, get back to it. The Lord is waiting. You see? So don't say, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Here I am. The parish is in rebellion. The furnace is broken. I'm sick. You know, the Lord, he says, no. Can a mother forget her infant? And believe me, that's a pale image of the way I love you. Because you come out of my guts too. You see? Without tenderness for the child of her womb. And even if she forgets, which is impossible, for one thing, that woman has brought this child in with a lot of pain. So she's never going to forget, you know, oh, do I have a son? You know? Of course, she's going to remember it. Even if he goes away and doesn't write, and you know, she's never going to forget him. I will never forget you. Your walls are ever before me, is the way that next line goes, verse 16. In other words, I'm always looking at Jerusalem. I'm always seeing its walls. When I lived there, you know, I wondered whether that's still valid. I mean, it's a tough, tough city. And you know, see, it's not a holy land. It's the land of the Holy One. And so it can be fierce. But it's still the land of the Holy One, and he still looks at it in a special way. There's no doubt about that. So we should pray. Now it goes on, your rebuilders make haste, as those who tore you down and laid you waste go forth from you. Look around you, you see. They are all gathering and coming to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall be arrayed with them as with adornments, like a bride, you shall fasten them on you. Now he's promising Israel, Jerusalem, such a restoration. Now, when, under Theodore Herzl, the Jews returned, when Truman got everybody to agree and signed that, so that Israel was born, Eve Congar made a wonderful remark. He said, well, the Jews didn't learn that they can't keep the law without grace, so they didn't all become Christians. Now they're going to find they can't keep the land without grace. And as I say, I live there, the thoughtful people over there do turn to God, and they do hear from him. And there will be a time when that, you know, unbroken covenant will be repaired and brought to a deeper level, you see? But it's a question of trust. Now, do we trust God? And can we help other people trust God? How can we do that? Well, you know, as the famous saying goes, nemo dat quod non gat. You know, you've got to be able to trust God yourself. That's why you have to pray. Because it's hard to trust God, as we're going to see in these other texts, without a memory of what he's like. I can tell you, this is daring, but I can tell you in the Lord's own name that if you will turn to prayer, he will impress upon you such an awareness of his love, your life will change. The Father will show himself to you. And not after years and years and years. Just go. Do that Lectio Divina or whatever else you want to do. But spend the time in prayer. An hour a day is minimal survival equipment in our world today. And the breviary. You know, the breviary is precious. But we read it like we knew the newspaper. We're sitting in our chair and we're just, you know, silently looking at it. And our mind is in left field. You know, we're not really paying attention to what we're saying. If you close it and you open it up again, now where was I? Most of the time you forget. Did I say that psalm yet or not? That's really not very profitable for you or for the Lord. One thing you can do, if you know another language, is say the breviary in another language. Then you have to pay more attention. A lot of us who do Bible work, you know, like I say the Psalms in Hebrew a lot, well, I have to pay more attention than if I'm saying them in English. Or the readings. Well, that's because God gave me that education and I should use it. But if you know Spanish or French or German or Italian or Vietnamese, of course, if you know Vietnamese, it's easy because you come from there, so that makes it that's your language. But some language different than the one you work in all day, that does make you slow down and pay attention. There are other ways, too. One is to invite Our Lady to be there with you and to pray. Just imagine the way she prayed. Can you imagine that? The abasement, the love, the joy with which even now she praises God. She's a creature, and she knows she's a creature. And she's a blessed creature, and she knows that. All generations will call me blessed. But she's so dependent on God. And so the first movement of her life is abasement, and then comes love, joy, intercession, and all the rest. Knowing God is the heart of this whole project. And so we trust God. And that comes little by little. You know, you can go to prayer and say, ah, you know, this isn't working. That's why that Lectio Divina can help. You know, get something you like, John's Gospel, Romans, whatever, and just read it slowly, and God will talk to you. Remember, I had that quote just a minute ago from Dei Verbum. God wants to talk to us. And one of the ways he does it so beautifully is through the Word. You know, I think I've told you this before. When I started off in the religious life, in the monastic life, I really wanted to read the Scriptures, so I did. Now, I didn't know anything. But they became so attractive to me that every day I could hardly wait to get there. And what I learned some basics. I used to read it a lot in Latin, because our whole life was in Latin, and, you know, that probably helped because it was another language. But when David said, I will not kill Saul, right? Do you remember that? I learned something about respect for authority. Authority is trying to kill David. David wouldn't kill him. He had him twice and could have killed him and didn't. I watched when David was weeping over Absalom. You remember that Absalom rebelled and drove David out. Joab's army beat Absalom's army. And the one thing that David had said about the son who had rebelled against him, take care of Absalom. Don't kill Absalom. I wonder if Absalom knew that. I mean, that he could trust his father's love like that. Well, of course, as you remember, Joab killed him. The messenger came back and said, David said, and what about my son Absalom? The messenger said, may all my lord the king's enemies finish like Absalom. So he knew he was dead and killed. And he went away and he said, Absalom, Absalom, my son, who will grant to me that I would die for you? Absalom, my son. And I read that, and I saw Jesus. In other words, David is an anticipation of the reality which in its fullness is in Jesus. Jesus weeps over us even when we're traitors. And not only did he wish to die for us, he did die for us. So we can see Jesus weeping, weeping now over all the arguments in the church, all the vice in the church, all the worry about money in the church. He weeps. But he's willing to die for us and to pour out the blessing of that blood for us. That's what this text teaches us, you see? Look, I've got your name on the palms of my hands. I engraved it there. It's not just tattooed, it's engraved. I will never forget you.